And I would like you to turn, please, to Matthew chapter 23, and we will read from verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do whatever they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels of their prayer shawls long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi." Verse 23. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." One of the great dangers that we as evangelicals face is the danger of talking big and living small. It is very easy to preach big sermons and pronounce big doctrines, but to live insignificant lives. E.M. Forster once talked about poor, talkative, little Christianity. And many of us know exactly what he means. We open the Bible, we read great words from the Bible, we believe big doctrines from the Bible, but our lives do not correspond with the things that we say. And one of the big dangers that we have in coming together in a weekend like we have this weekend is that we will hear the Word of God, we will be challenged again, but our lives will be unaffected. Now I find a challenge in what our Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees. Now the thing that our Lord Jesus would point out, I am sure, is that they are people who had a big theology. The Bible says here that they wore phylacteries. Now phylacteries were hide cases, and the Jews wore them on their foreheads and on their forearms, and in these hide cases were contained portions of Deuteronomy and Exodus. And every time they put on these phylacteries, they were saying to the world, "Look at me, I love the Word of God, it's dwelling in my heart, and it rules my life." Now they believed the same Bible that you believe. Of course, they did not have the New Testament. But they believed in the inspiration of the Bible. They revered the Bible. They believed the doctrines of their Old Testament, just as you do. The Bible says that they believed in angels, they believed in the resurrection, and they believed in spirits, just as you do. Now you will find in Acts 23, it says that the Pharisees believed these things, but the Sadducees didn't. And as someone has said, that is why they were sad, you see. Didn't have those doctrines, but the Pharisees did. You see, they believed what you believe, basically, and what I believe. They had no clear understanding of the Trinity, but they believed that God was the God of love. They believed that He was always there. They believed that He was eternal, that He was holy. They believed that He was self-sufficient and all-powerful. Now that is the God that you believe in. And yet it's not enough to have a theologically big God. And we come together, as the Pharisees could easily come together and sing with the children, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." And we say, that's a wonderful song. We love to sing that wonderful song and to teach it to our children. It is good theology. It is good Bible doctrine. It is absolutely true. And that is what the Pharisees believed. Now, not every Pharisee was a bad man. On one occasion, men were plotting against the life of Jesus. And it was a Pharisee who came and told the Lord Jesus of that plot. Good men, probably about 6,000 of them at one time. And yet they had this great, noble ambition to bring every aspect of life under the domination of the law. And it is precisely at this point that they went wrong. You see, theologically strong, biblically strong, but they had a very big weakness, and our Lord Jesus said, "Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." Now we read together verse 23, and our Lord says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Now our Lord Jesus is saying that all doctrine is important, every part of the Bible is important, but we must never major on minors. And one reason that certain brothers and sisters have convened this weekend is that they believe that we need to major on major themes again. And one of the great major themes of the Bible is the theme of reaching out with the gospel. We need to be awoken again. We need the movement of the Spirit of God in our midst again. Wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you like to see the Spirit of God moving in our lives and in this nation of Australia, just as we desire it in New Zealand? To see men and women being brought to Christ by the tens of thousands. Wouldn't you like to see it? We need to major again on the major doctrines of the New Testament. Now, one of the things that our Lord is saying here is that doctrine should be reflected in our lives. He is saying, yes, you should tithe mint, dill, and cumin, but never neglect the weighty and the most important aspects of the Bible, that is, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Great doctrines should lead to great lives. But you see, as far as the Pharisees went, they lived little lives. Insignificant lives. They would live 30, 40 years. They would pass out of the scene and never really impact anyone for Jesus. Or for God. Why? They lived small lives because they only gave small sacrifices. Would you turn to Mark chapter 7? Our Lord is speaking to Pharisees, and this is what he says from verse 10. Moses said, "Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Now here you see a Pharisee. He believes in the Bible. He believes in a theologically big God, but he's not willing to make big sacrifices in the service of his God. He should honor his father and mother. He should provide for them financially. But to avoid this big sacrifice, he says, "What I would have given to you has been dedicated to the Lord. Therefore, I cannot honor you as I would wish." And the Christian church today in many parts of the world is being held back by Christians who will not make anything in the way of a major sacrifice. Little lives and little sacrifices. Another thing our Lord Jesus points out about these men, the Pharisees, is that they had little impact. Luke chapter 11, verse 44. I am reading in my devotional time at the present time, slowly through Luke. And a week or so ago, I was reading through this portion, and this verse came to me with considerable power. I had never really noticed it before, even though I had read it many times. "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you are like unmarked graves which men walk over without knowing it." And as I read that verse, I said, "Lord, what does it mean? Unmarked graves, men walk over them without knowing them." And then it dawned on me what our Lord was saying. It's so easy to live a life which has no impact upon the lives of other people. And you're just like an unmarked grave. People walk all over you. You're there, but you make no difference to the lives of other people. Recently, I read the journals of Jim Elliot, that young man who poured out his young life upon one of the sandy banks of an Ecuadorian river. And he used to pray this prayer, "Lord, make of me a crisis man. I don't want to be just a signpost on the road," he said, "but I want to be a fork in the road." And what we need today in our churches, ladies and gentlemen, are crises men and women. People who will confront us and make us decide for a deeper commitment to Christ. Enough of being unmarked graves, living lives that make no impact on anyone else. We need to dedicate ourselves to Christ and make people decide for Jesus Christ. Dr. Hunter is a prominent man in Methodist evangelism in the United States. He tells a story on one occasion of a young theological student who came to him about the time of his graduation to have an interview. And Dr. Hunter said, "Now tell me, now that you're going to graduate, what do you intend to do as a ministry for the Lord?" And the young man thought, and he said, "Well, I want to set up a counseling service. I want to set up a sign outside a church somewhere, and people can come to me for advice." And Dr. Hunter said, "That's very good, it's a very worthwhile ministry. But what about the people who aren't within the orbit of the Christian church?" The young man thought for a while, and he said, "My philosophy in life is this: I don't bother them, and they don't bother me." And that's the philosophy of many evangelical churches. And we need to change from being merely evangelical to becoming evangelistic. You see, to be evangelical is to have truth on ice, but to be evangelistic means that we have truth on fire. And that's what we need to pray for during this weekend. Truth on fire. We sometimes look at some of our churches that seem to be dying. And we say, why are we dying? Why is it that we with so much truth, why is it we with Bibles, open Bibles on our hand, and a noble heritage of orthodox doctrine, why is it that many of our churches are dying? And the answer is, that while we have big doctrines, we are living little lives that do not impact other people for Christ. The story is told of a village atheist. The village church began to burn and they formed a bucket chain and they were passing buckets of water one to the other to douse the flame. And as it happened, the vicar of the village was right next door or right next to the atheist in this chain. Trying to make light of the conversation or of the circumstance, he said to the atheist, "It's good to see that something's brought you to church." And the atheist said, "If the church had been on fire before, I would have been here years ago." John Wesley used to say to his preachers, "Get on fire for the Lord and the people will come out to see you burn." And we need to have young men and young women who will catch fire for Christ. People who will translate great doctrines into great lives. People who will involve other people. People who will confront other people with the high claims of discipleship, with the high claims of Jesus Christ. And right at the beginning of this weekend, what I would pray for you, just as I pray for myself, is that the Lord may help us to dream big dreams. Charles Swindoll, in his very good book called Improving Your Serve, gives this illustration. He says, imagine that there is a corporation president, has a big company, decides to go across to Europe to establish his company in Europe. He's there for 9 months. Every week he writes back to the headquarters and he sends dispatches, the things that they are to do. 9 months come and go, he comes back home. As he approaches the headquarters, he is dismayed at what he sees. The paint is peeling off. The windows are broken. The grass is very, very high. He goes through the door and he sees the receptionist just polishing her fingernails, not taking any notice, can't see anyone, playing darts, doing this, doing that. And eventually he finds the president or the manager of that corporation. And he says, "But sir, didn't you receive the dispatches that I sent to you when I was in Europe?" And he said, "Yes, sir, we did. And may I say, sir, they were classics in their line. They were beautiful pieces of literature. Some people have even marked some of the sentences that you wrote, and they have memorized them. And do you realize that some people have memorized whole letters that you wrote? And on Friday afternoon, at 3 o'clock, we come together and we read your letters through and we think about them. And sir, you are to be congratulated. They are beautiful pieces of work." Sound familiar? We've got a Bible in our hand. And during this weekend, we're going to think for hours on the written Word of God. And we will go away from this weekend with enough Bible doctrine to turn the world upside down. And yet many of us will go forth from this place and we will live little lives. We will never impact people for Christ because we will not take seriously the importance of the Christian message.